You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Dave Richter. Alongside me, it's Joe DiNapparo. It's Matt Cannon. Guys, welcome back to the show. Another action-packed episode for you guys. Maybe the offseason, but we are in full swing here on RBLR Lightning. There's lots to talk about, but first and foremost, guys, how you doing today?
Doing pretty well. Another week for the technical offseason for the Bulls, but another week with some news. So, you know, it's always a fun thing. What do you have going on, Matt?
Well, we found another oasis in the desert. We do have stuff to talk about this week, thank the Lord. I'm doing well, enjoying my weekend. I kind of work a reverse week, so no, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Well, I say let's jump right into it. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in with us live here once again, too. We appreciate you guys joining the show. Don't forget, you can drop your comments down below. We'll throw them up on screen, too. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say. Join the conversation. And if you're missing out on this episode live, don't forget, like and subscribe. Ring that bell for notifications. Follow us on social media at RBR Lightning. All that fun stuff so you do know when we do go live. You can join us here when we're talking about Bulls hockey. But with that said, quick little bit of a small news thing here, but we kind of talked about it last week. John Cooper, at the end of the offseason, there was a lot of weird rumors going around that he may be leaving Tampa. I don't know who started those. We never really believed them, but he was inducted into the Sports Club of Tampa Bay Hall of Fame. He went along with a couple other big sports names in there as well, but in Cooper's acceptance speech, he was, you know, classic John Cooper, praising the area, the fans, the organization, everything about that. But he said this in his acceptance speech, saying that contrary to rumors and whatever is going on out there, I'm not leaving you guys. It was kind of that Wolf of Wall Street moment, if you've seen that, saying I'm not leaving, which I don't know about you guys, but that just fired me up even more, even though I already knew it was true.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, that scene is enough to get you fired up. If you don't know the scene, that's one that can get you pumped up just to get your day going.
And those were such stupid rumors. It was Larry Brooks that was putting it out, say, because he's buddies with Ryan Smith, the owner of the Utah hockey team, or what, they're the Mammoth now. But John Cooper's friends with so many people. Like, he's friends with Wayne Gretzky. He's just friends with everyone. Like, it's so far-fetched to think that he's going to be the coach next year, whatever it is. So it's very, you know, calming to me to see he's not quite ready to go just yet. Is that important?
No, it's a spam.
Should we take a pause?
For my computer on Do Not Disturb, and yet my computer still thought that one should come through. So
maybe it's important.
You know, they've been trying to reach you about your auto insurance.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, they're trying to find out if John Cooper is born in the Mammoth. They really want to
know. So I was thinking, you know, it's probably a fan that started these rumors. Someone from the list is long but distinguished: the Boston Bruins, the St. Louis Blues, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Detroit Red Wings, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Anaheim Ducks, the New York Rangers, or possibly the Seattle Kraken. Have had a coach that has been fired for the 2024-25 season.
That's a lot of teams, and they're all going to have to keep on looking because John Cooper is not going anywhere. So nice to see for John Cooper getting inducted into that Tampa Bay Sports Hall of Fame, and he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I was looking at it. The Sports Club of Tampa Bay has this Hall of Fame. There's like a ton of really notable names. It's like the who's who of sports in Tampa. You got Al Lopez, just as, you know, some of the highlights: Al Lopez, Leroy Selman, Lou Piniella, George Steinbrenner, Wade Boggs, may he rest in peace, Phyllis Pizzito, Dave Vanderchuk, Mike Allstott, Derek Brooks, Warwick Dunn, Rondé Barber, and even Vinny Testaverde.
Joe, it's so heartening to hear that you are an Always Sunny fan. I love that.
I was trying so hard to get through that with a straight face.
Jake's so confused.
I definitely am, but it's okay. So we love inside jokes. Yeah, very, very elite group of people. So great to see Cooper added to that list, as he should be. And I'm sure he will be in the Lightning's Hall of Fame before you even know it. Heck, I would even throw a statue of him out there of Amelie someday. But let's get to some of the other news for the Lightning this week. One, is, by the way, I didn't know this for the longest time. I was very confused on why awards were getting announced just kind of randomly. You know, there's always the award show. Did you guys know the award show was canceled this year? I completely missed that memo.
I didn't know that it was, like, fully canceled. Like, I know sometimes, like, they'd roll out, like, some awards and save the big ones for the show. But, like, the Calder just got announced today. You know, the Ted Lindsay got announced last week. So, yeah, I did not know that it was, like, fully canceled. So this is a bit of news to me. But at the same time, like, cool, the award show kind of sucks, like, every year. So.
I'll put you on that, but
as I say, I thought that's what they announced it last year, and nobody thought it was a major loss, right?
No.
It's kind of like, you know, Kucherov ruined the All-Star game, and, you know, no one really watched these award shows, so maybe it's for the better. Maybe they'll come out with something that's more entertaining than just people standing around to, you know, basically pat themselves on the back.
Well, I think the Lightning did come out with something more entertaining, because if you didn't see it, Nikita Kucherov won the Ted Lindsay Award for 2025. So big congratulations to Nikita Kucherov. And the way the Lightning announced it, I thought it was very well done. His teammates wanted to kind of surprise him, and they posted a video of him going into JBB's office, and JBB kind of like, they're trying to keep him out of the room so all his teammates could get in there and then present him with the award. JBB almost kind of spoiled it in the middle of that. Also, in classic Nikita Kucherov fashion, when JBB's talking about, hey, they might fly you out to LA or you can just stay here for the award, Kuch goes, what trophy? Like, Kuch doesn't know that he's going to be up for some of these big awards. Just classic Nikita Kucherov. Anyway, he goes back out. All of his teammates are there. And they present him with this award. Super cool, fun video. I love that. I thought it was really cool. I was a little freaked out about beardless Kucherov. didn't love that look. Let's get back into the playoffs and grow that beard again. But
that's a good point, yeah. We're not used to seeing him without a beard this time of year. It is yeah. Unsettling. Hey, he is, you know, all work, though. I think he's been at the rink, you know, I think they're saying like 3 times a week or something like that in the mornings. He's up there all the time working, and there's a bunch of guys you could see in that video that are still in the area. I guess a lot of them are skating with him. I think they were saying that Gord is with him every single time on the ice, and there's someone else that's like basically not taking an off season up to this point.
I mean, even Killer comes back and works with him on the ice, despite, you know, being 2 years removed from being a Bolt. Like, you know, Kuch is just always on the ice. What is he? Takes like a week off after the end of the season and then right back onto the ice, regimented as could be. There's a reason why he is, you know, a top three player in the world. And there's a reason why he has been voted, you know, the most outstanding player by his peers. Like, he is just that dedicated, that regimented to his art.
And we talked about this before, that, you know, we kind of think that the Ted Lindsay is a bigger deal when it comes to MVP, just because it's, I mean, I think it is, but I get your guys' opinion on this, because it's by your peers. It's by the players who are with you out there on the ice and voting for you. I think that's would be a bigger respect thing for me if I was that player who won that award versus getting it from some hockey writers or whoever does the other one. I don't even remember.
And it's like kind of double impressive too, considering that it is Kucherov. Like, I have a feeling there's a lot of players in the league that don't like him. Like, let's call a spade a spade. Like, he's definitely not the most affable guy. Like, if you're not friends with him or if you're not a fan of him, whatever, like, you know, he'll pull out, you know, a dirty play here and there. I'm not calling him a dirty player, but, you know, he has those tendencies. So to still, you know, be voted as, you know, the most outstanding, the best player, you know, of that year by, you know, your fellow peers is a huge accomplishment. I don't know why that is kind of the lesser of the two awards. Like, the Hart Trophy is so much more coveted, even though that's voted on by
because
very biased media.
Because who's promoting it and who's voting on it?
Yes,
you know, talk about patting yourself on the back. It's the media's award that they're giving out, and the media promotes it. So yeah, that's going to be the one that they say this one's more important. But like you said, the players that are on the ice definitely understand the impact that someone like Kucherov actually has, and more so than just the media, who, I mean, he definitely acts in a way that the media don't fully like to support him, unless they're contrarian media people, which there are that, you know, love to throw it in the face of the traditionalists. But I mean, this is a huge award, especially when you consider the company that he's keeping with it. You know, the, just listing the last, you know, say 4 years here, McKinnon, McDavid, Matthews. I mean, these are the best players in the league without a doubt. And
Matthews. Sorry, that? I don't put him in that tier.
Well, I mean, he did have a you know, he's going to be one of those guys that can compete for scoring records, at least, if he keeps himself healthy, as he's pretty much been doing. These are outstanding players that he's, you know, going up against each year. And even though the Lightning didn't make it that far, it, you know, shows how much of an impact he had game in and game out, you know, for his team.
Still such a good.
I think a lot of people forget that it's a regular season award too. Some people sit there and say, ah, Kucherov didn't do anything in the playoffs, which he didn't, but it is a regular season award, to be fair.
It is kind of a shame that he still doesn't have a Conn Smythe trophy.
The media said, no, none of this. We're not having Kucherov. Hopefully we'll get back to the Stanley Cup final soon, and we can maybe get Nikita Kucherov a Conn Smythe trophy. That would be nice. Comment here from Lisa. She says that JBB has been busy this week. Right, you are. JBB has been busy this week. There's been a couple of signings that we do have to talk about. Let's hit some of the big ones. There are a couple of minor signings for the Lightning, AHL guys that are not going to make an immediate impact in both defenseman Steven Santini and the goaltender Ryan Fantini. Not related, but their names are very, very similar. Both those guys, Santini, two-year contract, two-way contract, and then for the goaltender Ryan Fantini, is a one-year two-way contract. So those guys are down in the AHL, but they signed them. And, of course, the big one is defenseman Max Crozier, who was signed to a three-year deal, $2.325 million. A lot of different little numbers in there. It's a $775,000 annual average salary. So Max Crozier signed to an extension for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
How hard did Michael cheer for that?
He didn't say much. He was excited, but didn't go too crazy.
To me, I'm pretty excited about that. I think Crozier is maybe ready to make that next step to be that sixth defenseman. I think Nick Perbix is all but gone, praise the Lord. So I think it's a decent, fun signing. I like, you know, it being pretty much league minimum. I think he's ready to make that next step. So I'm excited to see him try and man the blue line next year. I know Michael's probably still jumping for joy, even though he's keeping it on the inside a bit.
What does Perbix have left on his contract?
He's a UFA.
He's a complete UFA. So I guess he is going to be completely gone. I don't mind him that much. I think he was a victim of circumstance with the system a lot. You know, it's, he did so well that his first year, and then you change the system up on him, and he was struggling quite heavily. You know, it's tough to see someone like that go, for me, where I thought that maybe he could have been an asset. But I guess that kind of answers who's going to get signed and who's not.
I think his stock tanked tremendously. And again, you know, he might be, mm-hmm, a victim of circumstance. He might have just had a hot first year in the NHL, but two bad outweighs one good year, in my opinion. He might just be what he is. So
yeah, I mean, honestly, when it comes to having a fluke good year, I don't think you get those on defense, personally. I don't think that you can have a fluke solid performance playing D, unlike forward, where you surprise people because they haven't seen you before. You know, I was pretty hopeful for him being able to develop into something more.
And to be fair, there is a possibility they still could sign him. And, you know, you can have Lilleberg or even Radish back down into the minors again. I doubt it. I do kind of see where you're coming from, Joe. It does feel like that this kind of signing says Perbix may be moving out the door and they might be moving on from him. But we'll see. Maybe if they can get Perbix on a team-friendly deal, they can still make it happen.
If Perbix, Radish, Lilleberg is on the ice for game one next year, I'm becoming a full-time Hurricanes fan, I swear.
Oh, you're just giving up. Oh, wow, man.
Yeah, that would be pretty brutal if that's what we end up seeing.
We'll have to wait and see. Now, the Lightning still have about $3 million in cap space. They still are listed at 3.4 when it comes to Puckpedia, but that's because Crozier is in the AHL on their website, not on the NHL deals. So even, but even if you add that in there, still obviously, was it like 2.5 ish, right around that mark, and you're not going to carry typically that many defensemen. They have 7 signed right now, if I'm not mistaken. So there's a little bit of wiggle room there. So we'll see who the Lightning decide, if they're going to sign somebody else in the offseason, or, you know, when training camp rolls around, who makes the biggest impact. There's a lot of questions left to be answered.
Yeah, I mean, they typically like having 8 NHL-ready defensemen with, you know, burying at least one down in the AHL, running 12 forwards and 7 defensemen at times to make their lines.
This would be number 7. Perbix is technically that number 8, so we'll see what they end up doing there when it comes to the offseason and training camp next year and who's going to make the roster. Then as for the other news that the Lightning had here with a signing, not a player that came back, but a new coach that the Lightning have signed to a new contract. Dan Hyno comes over to the Lightning. He is the new assistant coach. So welcome him to the team. Guys, I'm pretty excited about this one. Read a little bit about him. He is a very well-experienced coach. He was down in the AHL last season, had a very successful year with the affiliate of the Colorado Avalanche. It was the Colorado Eagles. They had the best record in the AHL's Western Conference, going 43-21-5. He's a former player, had a lot of defensive experience, got some experience coaching the power play as well. So an experienced guy that seems like he knows what he's doing.
And one that is familiar with the Florida Heat, maybe?
Hey. Yeah, he was. He's a Florida-born guy. I'm not sure where he grew up. When I was looking over his Hockey DB, it said Florida was his birthplace. So
yeah, it says Leesburg, and you know who knows how long he actually lived in Florida.
But still, I always think that's cool. I love Florida-born players. Like, I know all the Hughes brothers. They're Florida-born. They grew up in Orlando and then moved up north. But still, I always got a soft spot for him. And Shane Gostisbehere too.
He's also a guy that's got a lot of experience in the Stanley Cup playoffs for his. Stats as a player, he's 503 regular season games with the Avalanche and the St. Louis Blues, 38 goals, 90 points. He also appeared in 72 career Stanley Cup playoff games, which he recorded 6 goals, 15 points. And he is a Stanley Cup champion with Colorado in 2001. So, again, not only got an experience when it comes to coaching and winning, but a guy who's got experience on the ice and winning. And you always love to bring that extra experience for – especially for those younger guys on your team sometimes that don't have that experience. Coaches can really help in that department. And I believe he's basically just going to take over Blashill's role when it came to defense. So high hopes for how he is going to fit in to Tampa. And we'll see how that all ends up playing out and what role he will take. But I do like this signing by the Lightning, and I'm excited to see what he can do in Tampa Bay.
So. I'm pretty excited too. You know, despite him, you know, being a forward in his career, the teams that he was an assistant coach with, Nashville and Columbus, they were always pretty defense first teams. The years that he was, you know, the assistant there. You all right, Joe?
No, just reading about him, I mean, it's just cool as hell. Hynod accepted an appointment to the United States Military Academy in 1995. He initially planned on a career with the FBI. He left the academy in 1996 when he became the first NHL player ever to be drafted from West Point. I just thought that was really neat.
That is really cool. Wow, it's hard to top that. But again, looking at the teams that he was an assistant coach with, they were always defense first teams. Like, I know Columbus, you can't really say that about them, but they were pretty, you know, well thought out defensively. In Nashville, before they really tanked off this last season, he wasn't with them for that. So maybe he was a big part of their fall off. So maybe we've got a good thing coming here. Maybe the defense makes, you know, maybe not a full 180, but a step in the right direction under his guide.
I'm definitely excited to see what they can do, especially we know how well-respected this coaching staff here is in Tampa, and he only adds to it for the Lightning. A couple of comments here I want to get to. Lisa saying, I think I see what JV is doing, and I like it. We got the vet, and now he's getting the younger ones. Yeah, I think there's still obviously some work to do and some big offseason moves he could potentially make, limited cap space. But for the most part, I've been very happy with what he's been doing. I've loved the contracts. I've loved the Gord contract. I like the Crozier contract. No complaints from me at all.
I really hope we don't get sucked into more like air quote think you're getting a value deal. Like the Connor Sherry deal is always the one that kind of sticks out to me. Like he did sign for a pretty low number and we're, you know, had pretty high expectations for him. I hope we don't get sucked into that again with those, you know, $2 million for 3 year deals or something like that, you know, $2 million each year. I hope that's not a case. I hope, you know, the pro scouting and JBB himself, you know, makes the right decisions come this free agency class.
I think they should be able to do that. I don't see why not. Listen, JBB's been pretty darn good, and he has a very good track record, so I have a tendency to trust him. One or two times he's not done a good job, but other than that, very, very good track record. Comment here too from Beverly. Jack Finley signed this week for 3 years too. Yep, to an AHL deal, so nice to have him back on the team. Hopefully he will get his shot sooner rather than later.
If he could put it together, that would be so awesome for the team, because he's – if I'm not mistaken, he's a right-handed shot. It'd be great, you know. And he's big. He's like, I want to say like 6'4" or something. He can pull up the stats, but he's a big guy, and that would be awesome to be able to, if he can put it together and be able to make the big squad at least for half the season.
He got into a couple games this year, didn't he? Like two games or something, maybe even just one. But he didn't look out of place, but you know, he's playing sheltered minutes, but he didn't look bad by any stretch. So, you know, he's still only 22 years old. I want to get that height, because he is a big 6'6", Joe.
Yeah, big dude. Then
I remember when they drafted him, saying, "Holy cow, this guy is huge." 6'6" is massive. So,
and sometimes those big players take a while in the oven to really develop. So, you know, again, 22, it's not exactly young, but it's not old by any stretch either. So maybe a little bit more time in the oven, he can turn himself into quite the defenseman.
He's a giraffe out there on ice. You know, it takes a while to get your to fully get your form.
Giraffe. That just makes me think of Andre Suster and him back on.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll sign him again.
As much as Andre Suster, but.
Let's reacquire Andre Schuster.
Beverly also said, excited to see what he is going to do with Isaac Howard as well. Yes, the Isaac Howard situation, that whole mess, sounds like he's going to get traded when we get closer, probably to the draft, I would guess. But hopefully he'll be able to get at least a semi-decent package, some picks back, maybe a younger prospect too. But I don't know what
it is for Howard. Protege Matthew Darche, you know, is taking the job with the Islanders. Maybe he's open to, you know, trading the first overall pick for Isaac Howard. You know, it's just, I think it'd be a good trade.
I think that's a fair deal. Why not?
Come on, help us out.
In some other fun news around the Tampa Bay Lightning, if you don't know, they are currently having their locker room sale, and you can get a bunch of their game used equipment, gloves, sticks, all that kind of stuff. So that's pretty neat over at Amalie Arena. I believe it is this Saturday for our locker room sale, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. So if you want to go check that out, be sure to do that.
If anyone scores a Bauer P92 curve, full length 77 flex stick, let me know, hit me up. I'm willing to pay for one of those, because I definitely don't want to go full retail price. I know they're about a third of the price as going retail, because now I think they're $359 a twig for the one that I prefer to use.
Does someone on the team use that specifically, or is it a pretty common stick? I don't know.
Right-handed sticks aren't common, period. Really? Right. So I should have switched to a lefty a long time ago just for availability. Most players, you know, play with a left-handed stick, but we can get into that another podcast as to why.
Well, there's a lot going on in Amalie Arena when it comes to that sale. Also, I don't know if you guys, I know Matt saw this because he was all over the comment section about it, but the Lightning did a collab with somebody on social media who's been posting all of their graphic designs, and they've been designing t-shirts and stuff for different NHL teams and teams that have commented on her videos, and the Lightning officially hired her to do a collaboration. I need to go find the name of
here.
Her.
It's K Wine Design, K-K-W-E-I-N by Design on Instagram. I've followed her for a good bit. She does really interesting, quirky, fun, I can't really call it retro, but just kind of out of the park designs, like nothing you'd really find from any professional sports team or anything. It's all very unique and well thought out. And surprisingly simple designs that, you know, are pretty extravagant. So I'm glad that the Lightning are the first team to really like hop on with her. I know she did some work with the Minnesota Wild and I think the LA Kings, but this is like the first full on like Toronto partnership.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what she comes up with. I know I'll be, you know, first in line, ready to get something.
And Matt, you were very active in the comments and in talking with fans as well. I saw too. I know.
Yes.
Yeah. I was very entertained when I opened up that video and of course saw Matt all over the comment section fighting with Florida Panthers fans.
I was say, I think there's a comment right now in the comment section of ours that has similar comments to what Matt tends to post.
I want to see.
Are you talking about the ones from Mr. Magic?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't know who this hero is, but I know he's on the right team.
Yeah, I don't either, but they're all right.
Magic, yo, can't tell you boys how much I despise the Florida Panthers. Oh, we need to take back the throne. Yes, we hope
right on, please. Spot on.
I'm even wearing my Oilers orange today.
There you go. But
I don't know, the shirt's kind of a little dirty, and I might need to re-up on some new shirts soon. Maybe some Bolts Blue type of shirts. Jake, is there any good spot I could do something quite like that?
Yes, well, I was just going to say, if you guys aren't interested in the Lightning Locker Room sale or some of the new merch coming out soon, you can always head over to shop.rblrsports.com and use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. And not only Lightning stuff, Lightning, Rays, Rowdies, Sun, Bucks, all team-inspired merch from the Tampa Bay area. We got it. Don't forget to use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Links, as always, are in the description, so be sure to go check that out. Ben saying he's getting his Darren Radish merch this weekend. big old Darren Radish fan there. So, yeah, so some fun things going on for the Lightning this weekend. I don't know about you guys. I have not been watching much of the Stanley Cup Finals, so I'll be honest with you. I don't even know what's going on in that.
Last night was wild.
Oh, it was unhinged.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. What would you call it? Like a retribution game? I don't even know what to call it.
I mean, to put it simply, once the game was out of reach for the Oilers, they decided to go full Florida Panthers mode and just hack and slash and punch and fight and beat up everyone and get beat up by everyone. Like, it was literally just mayhem at the end of the game, you know, from the halfway mark on, just exactly what I would be doing if I was down by 5 goals in the Stanley Cup final. So I can't really blame them, but at the same time, man, it looks like the Panthers are getting under the Oilers' skin quick, so they need to turn it around real quick too. It was the first kind of dud game. The first two games were really fun to watch.
Well, it was a huge miss, the Oilers not being able to get the win in OT in game two.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, I just don't know if they are going to have anything left in the tank to be able to beat the Panthers at this point, because if they're taking the game down to the Panthers level, they're even better when you drop down like that, because they'll do all the nasty stuff on the ice but still bury the goals. You got to outskill them, and man, it's a tough team.
And right now, Sam Bennett and Brad Marchand are like the favorites to win the Conn Smythe right now. I can't tell you how hard I will be pulling hair out of my head if Sam Bennett wins a Conn Smythe trophy. It'd be worse than, like, it's like Claude Lemieux winning the Conn Smythe trophy, just a pest rat that's just amazing in the playoffs. I hate to admit it, I'm not a fan of the guy, but my God, is Sam Bennett playing great right now?
Yeah, and poor Corey Perry, man.
Oh, God.
And
he's playing great too. Like,
he's arguably one of their best players. You know, I mean, if you take out the top two guys that have also won the Ted Lindsay Award from that team, then you know he's pretty much number three right now.
Quick comment here from Mr. Magic asking, who do you think will be gone this offseason for Tampa? Seems to be a clue now with Finley and Crozier in. Yes, and we briefly talked about this when it came to Crozier and that possibly Nick Perbix might be on the outs since the Lightning have pretty much locked up their defensive core. As for when it comes to Jack Finley, I don't know if he immediately takes anybody's roster spot, depending on, I mean, you know, maybe some crazy mini camp or something like that. But right now, for those who don't know, the unsigned players that we have left, Cam Atkinson is an unrestricted free agent. Luke Glendening is an unrestricted free agent. Gage Gonsalves, he is a restricted free agent. And Nick Perbix is a unrestricted free agent. So not much more left in the signing department. For me, guys, I would say I wouldn't be super surprised if Perbix is on his way out. Cam Atkinson, obviously 36 years old, unlikely he would come back to. Even Luke Glendening at 36. I think Gage Gonsalves is the big one right now.
Glendening, a 1 year, $1 million, I think would be worth it because he's been so consistent for us on defensive stuff, PK, obviously with face-offs. But making room for somebody that's ready to step up would be awesome too. It's just, you know, how many players do we have that can actually fill a role like that?
That was going to be my follow-up question is, do you guys want Glendening back? The other two, that's fine. Take a walk. You know, I like Cam Atkinson as a person, but was he effective on the Bolts? No. Glendening, I would have him back, like you're saying, Joe. 1 year, $1 million, maybe even less. Like, he's really good at his craft. He's maybe, you know, one of the best fourth liners in the league and definitely, you know, a top five face-off guy in the league. I would take him back all
day. His PK is good, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Glendening and Gonsalves are definitely the two big ones. I would like to see the Lightning hold on to a little bit of money and maybe get one guy in free agency if they can. There's not going to be much. There's a lot of tough wiggle room here, of course, as always, for the Lightning. But hopefully they can hold on to a little bit to have a chance at somebody in free agency. So, guys, I think that is going to do it for us in this episode. Thank you so much, everybody, who tuned in once again for another one of these off-season episodes. Don't forget, hit that like button, subscribe, share this video with friends. It really helps us out. We do appreciate it. All of that good fun stuff. You can follow us on social media at RBR Sports or at RBR Lightning, so you can stay up to date on all things when it comes to this podcast. And be sure to check out the other amazing podcast that we got over here on RBR as well. The Rays in full season swing over there. Those guys do an excellent job. The Rowdies guys are always a ton of fun as well. So lots of great content to check out here on RBR. With that said, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you in the next one. Go Bolts!
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.